whatever tool God is using in your life to correct you, He has one ultimate goal with that correction: holiness. God is doing it for my good and His glory. He is correcting me. He is pointing these things out in my life to make me more like Him.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is the ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
He's the best known leather worker in Western North Carolina. You are going to be able to take a class with him. Are y'all with me? So they went to his shop and they brought some of their work. What do they expect him to say? That's wonderful. That's awesome. I've never seen anything like. If he's the best leather worker in If he's the best leather worker in Western North Carolina, he's going to go, "You've got potential." What does that mean? You got a long way to go, bud. There's some raw talent here, but it's real raw. Are they going to get offended if they're smart? No. Because they're going to keep doing mediocre work until they submit to somebody who's far better. So your little daughter with her violin, as long as we pat you on your head, Elijah, and say, "That's the most amazing sound I've ever heard in my entire life," that's all we're going to get. And I, for one, have heard enough squeaks to last me a lifetime. Stacy came home and said, "I want to learn the violin." I said, "You all have to play the piano and you can choose your second instrument." She came home from six-year-old, first grade. She said, "I know what my second instrument will be." I said, "What, sweetie?" She said, "Violin." I went, "I hate violin." I said, "I wanted you to learn a brass instrument." "But Daddy, you said I could choose my second instrument." And Chris said, "Now what are you going to do?" She was no help whatsoever. And we endured 3 years of squeaks and honks. And now have you heard her play lately? It's worth it. Okay. But did I pay a price, Brother Youngblood. And then Natalie, she gets the bright idea. "I want to play the cello." Have you ever heard a kid play a cello? She still can't get it on the right note. We said, "Natalie, give it up." So here's my deal. As long as we pat them on their head and give them, I'm about to offend some mamas, and pat them on their head and give them participation trophies and tell them everyone's a winner, all we're going to get is squeaks and honks and shoddy work. But if we'll submit and let somebody tell us what we're doing wrong, okay, get your elbow down. Get your elbow up. Curve your wrist. I don't know. I can't do any of those things. But as long as we do that, I thought about you and your beekeeping and your woodworking. If they want everybody to tell them that everything they do is amazing, they're never going to get any better. That's what this chastening is all about, is God saying, "I know you're my child. That's why I'm talking to you the way I am. But you really blew that yesterday. That clerk at the fast food restaurant that was ugly and rude, I met the rudest drive-through clerk I've ever met in my entire life 2 days ago, and I bit my tongue. I said, "She needs Jesus, but right now, I'm not feeling the love of Jesus in my heart." I'm serious. And I was just kind as I could be. And so I went that evening on the way to Little Ivy, and I was in Mars Hill. They were incredible. I mean, that guy had it going on. That guy who was running the register, he's going to be the governor of this state, but one day. Okay? So when the Lord says, "You really blew that yesterday. You showed yourself. You were inappropriate. You were unkind. You were rude." He says, "I'm going to deal with you." If he doesn't come and correct me, I will continue going through life being an independent Baptist jerk. I need some help right there, okay? If the Holy Spirit does not correct me and rebuke me and show me when I'm wrong, I go through the rest of my life thinking that the world owes me something. They don't owe me anything. I owe them the gospel. And then I thought about the military. If your child, I have a personal preference that it ought to be the young men. I'm not comfortable sending my daughters into combat. But if your child joined that and during basic, the drill instructors in the upper echelon kept noticing him. And they were talking about him. And finally, after about 4 or 5 weeks, they said, there's something different about you. And there's another program we want you in. It is extremely, what's the next word going to be? Tough, disciplined, rigorous. They're not going to say it's where the pansies go. It's one of the toughest things we have. What if you're in the Navy and your drill instructor is finishing out his final few years and he's retired from the SEALs and he said, you've got what it takes to be a Navy SEAL. When we sign up for that, what are we expecting? Discipline, correction, chastening, molding, pointing out my faults, the thing, my shortcomings, and telling me what I need to do. Now you're saying, preacher, what on earth? Where are you going with this? Look at verse number 12. What have the last several verses been about? Everybody tell me. Keep it in its context. So what's the context of verse number 12? Chastening. And what do we have in verse number 12? Wherefore, therefore, because of all this chastening, it's time to lift up the hands that hang down and to strengthen their feeble knees. Brother Mara, why were their hands hanging down? Why were their knees weak? They misunderstood chastening. And that is the simple title for this morning's message, Misunderstanding of Correction. If you came to Jesus to let Him fill the empty spot in your life, I promise you it's full. He's good. If you came because you've tried everything this world had to offer and you knew that you needed a relationship with the God of creation and someone took a Bible and said that relationship is through His Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial death He paid on the cross, and you called on God and said, I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner. Save me by Your grace. I promise you He did that, but I am here to tell you He did not, He will not leave you alone at that point. Here's what the old time preachers used to say. If all He wanted to do was keep me out of hell at the day I got saved, here at home or wherever, He'd have knocked me in the head and took me to glory. He left me here for a reason. He's shaping me and He's molding me into the image of Jesus Christ. And more people, let me qualify it this way. Some people leave the truth because they're not born again. Well, I'm talking about believers right now. More people leave, Preacher Raines, I believe this with all my heart. More people leave because they misunderstand the correction and the chastening of God than any other thing that will get them out. I believe that with all my heart. He's working in their life and they're going, but I thought, but you, I read, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This doesn't feel very restful. We misunderstand His chastening in our life. Before I give you a very simple outline, look at the two evidences that we have misunderstood His chastening. What's wrong? Our hands are hanging down and our knees are weak. Here's what the hands hanging down literally means. Limp. No life. And the feeble knees, you want to know the literal definition of feeble? It means paralyzed. What do your hands represent in verse after verse after verse after verse through the Scriptures? We praise the Lord with our uplifted hands. Time after time in the Scripture, what do the knees represent? You know, prayer. Does that mean you have to kneel to pray? No. I've had sweet elderly people come and say, preacher, I want you to pray with me about something. And Miss Mary, they'll go, I'm sorry, I can't kneel anymore. You don't have to kneel. It's the condition of your heart. I love to kneel. And I hope I'm physically able till He calls me home. But our hands represent praise and our knees represent a prayer, a sacrificial commitment to God. You listen to me carefully and then I'm going to give you the simple outline. When I am discouraged, when I am out of sorts with God, when I am misunderstanding His dealings in my life, you want to know the first thing that leaves? My thanksgiving and my praise. I still eat. I still go to work. I still mow my yard. I do all those things. But boy, if I'm not real, if I don't make a deliberate, intentional effort to praise Him and to thank Him and to love Him, the first thing the devil robs me in my spiritual walk with God is my praise. I do not come in here and praise Him because of the material things He's given me this week. Is it wrong to thank Him for those material blessings? No, it's not wrong, and we ought to do it. God gives, Timothy says He gives us richly all things to enjoy. But why do I really praise Him? For who He is. And who He is has not changed since last Sunday. Who He is has not changed since the Sunday before. That September 9th day in 2006 when Stacy was fine in the morning and at death's door that evening, God had never changed. You follow me? So we worship Him, Lily, because of who He is. Thank God for what He does in my life, but I worship Him for who He is. And the devil, when you misunderstand God's working in your life, the first thing he'll destroy and wreck you and rob you of is your praise. The second one is going to be that prayer life. If we'll all be honest, when we've been on the outs with God, God, I don't know why, then fill in the blank. You say, preacher, I've got a habit. I'm gonna pray. I promise you, it's not gonna be as long. It's not gonna be as deep. It's not gonna be as heartfelt because we still live in a body of flesh, and we get our feelings hurt. We don't want to praise Him, and we don't want to pray. Do not let the devil rob you of those things in your life. For all of us that are parents, let me tell you something. Our children are watching. Our children are watching to see how real God is in our lives. Let me give you a simple outline. What did they misunderstand? The purpose of the correction. Look in verse number 10. They verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. He for our profit. Why? That we might be partakers of His holiness. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men and, say it, holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Everything He's doing in my life, every corrective action, whether it's a testimony, whether it's a Sunday school lesson, whether it's a message from the pastor, whether it's something you hear on the radio, whether it's a book that you read, or whether it's the working of the sweet Holy Spirit of God in your life, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as a believer. Whatever tool God is using in your life to correct you, He has one ultimate goal with that correction: holiness. He's not doing it so He can put me on prayer. Some parents correct their children so that when they go to meetings, they can get recognized as having the best kids in the independent Baptist movement. Tommy Rott and fiddlesticks, that's pride. God is doing it, Trevor, for my good and His glory. He is correcting me. He is pointing these things out in my life to make me more like Him. And here you say, Brother Raines, you've said that before, and yes, we've heard that in a Bible preaching church, and anything that's not like Him, He's going to take out. Anything He wouldn't do, He's going to rebuke me and say, you ought not to do it. Take it to what you wear, what you listen to, what you watch. Take it to all of that, and that's our outward testimony. He conforms me inwardly to the image of Jesus Christ. But more than that, here's what I want you to see. Name me a God of this world who takes that kind of personal interest in the lives of His followers. Trevor and the girls sang about Buddha and Muhammad and all the others. I've asked person after person after person every time I get a chance, tell me about your relationship with your God. I don't ridicule them. I don't mock them. I don't chastise them for having another God. I said, tell me about your relationship. I've never had one tell me about their relationship with their God, Brother King. They say, I don't have a relationship. I do what the rules of my religion tell me to do. You've heard that before. I'm not just repeating myself. But here's what I want you to see. Our God takes a personal vested interest in my life that I am daily being conformed to the image of His Son. It sounds silly, but I want you to understand it. My God cares how I treat the drive-thru clerk at the restaurant. My God cares how I respond to people going through this odd situation we're going through with the weather and the mudslide and all that. Everybody I interact with because of that, my God is working in my life, and those are doors that would never have been opened in any other way. And like your mama said, she said, when I finish this trial, I want my Lord to be pleased with me. When I finish this trial, I want Him to be pleased. He is conforming me to His image. Any young man who gets tapped for the Navy SEALs is going to endure a whole lot of hardness because he knows the purpose. We lose sight of the purpose. We get all wrapped up in what's going on right here around us, and we forget there's an end goal. Every college team, I won't get carnal here, I could. I won't even get cocky here, and I could. Watch me now. Every college team that's going to sweat through the brutal heat of a summer in the South and the humidity, why are they doing that? They don't enjoy it any more than you or I would. Why are they doing it? They know where they want to be on January 8th. They got an end goal. They've got an end goal. And everything, ladies, that I'm enduring, everything He's correcting and pointing out to me and troubling my spirit, Brianna, it's because He wants me to be like His Son. And 1 John 3 says, when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. He will conform me to the image of His Son. Don't lose sight of the purpose. Number two, we misunderstand the process. Look at verse 11. I hope this will help somebody. Look at the last half of verse 11. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are... What's that next word? Who in here loves exercise? One. That's about right. Are y'all with me? What does that mean? If you're an exercise person, does that mean you went to Gold's Gym in 2016? Loosen up a little bit, okay? Everybody's, preacher, there's not very many here. I don't want to be the first one to laugh. Okay, just laugh or say amen or something. If we got a visitor, I said that guy over there, he's an exercise buff. That does not mean you went to the treadmill 2 years ago and sweated. And you can always tell the people that are newbies, okay? You know, they walk around going, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. They heard that one time. They don't know what it means, but they walk around saying it. They have a towel. They're not sweating, but they're wiping. That's how some of us are in the Christ walk. No pain, no gain. You can't handle somebody cutting you off on the interstate. And we think we're full of the Holy Spirit. Getting ready to speak in tongues, okay? Ain't happening. The process. Look at, what does it mean, exercised? The process, Trevor, is gradual. The purpose is godliness. The process is gradual. You say, Brother Maines, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. And if you didn't grow up with a daddy that spanked you, that's your business, okay? Done right, done scripturally, it's biblical, and it produces good fruit, okay? I'm not talking about abuse. The preacher is not talking about abuse. I'm talking about lovingly administered correction when you're acting like an idiot. If you did sloppy rows in the garden, they're crooked. You didn't plant the beans 6 inches apart. If the garden's a mess and your daddy came home from work and it's a mess, there's only one correct answer to this question. Would you rather have to redo the whole garden or get a 4 or 5 swats, a spanking? The spanking. Why? It's quicker. And here's what we'd say. Let's get this over with. I'm going, this is good. So here's the thing. It's gradual. Exercised thereby, we don't like. If he'd just come down and beat the devil out of us, it'd be worth it. But he said, no, I want you to straighten up that row you just messed up. I want you to redo that line. I want you to pick up those seeds are all over the place. I want them every 6 inches. That's exercise thereby. I want you to go back to that clerk and apologize. I want you to go back to that family member and say, I was wrong. Did I just say that? Y'all with me? See, and we'd rather him just wail us. That was dumb. I'm glad that's over with. No, he says, fix it. Exercise thereby. The process, Brother Maher, I don't like it. It's gradual. I wish he had just conformed me to the image of Christ. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. What'd you do yesterday? I died. What are you doing today? Dying. What are you doing tomorrow? Dying. Dying to myself, walking in the Spirit. Dying to myself, walking in the Spirit. Brother Aaron, I do not like a gradual process. Can we just get this over with? Can you just open me up, take the old one out and put a new one in? He did that with your heart. But that nature that is still formed after the first Adam, one day at a time, one step at a time, one lesson at a time, he's taken out that old nature and conforming me to the image and the nature of Jesus Christ. And I realize we're dual natured. I understand that. I'm trying to make a point. Lastly, look in John chapter 15. That purpose is godliness. The process is gradual. Look in John 15, verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit. I believe every born-again believer under the sound of my voice this morning wants to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bear more. I hope the Lord's speaking to somebody's heart this morning. We're so childish. We're so immature. Lord, I'm bearing fruit. 3 years ago, I was lost. 4 years ago, I was in a weak church and I was just glad to be saved. I didn't know you had a plan for my life. I've come so far in 4 years. Do you still have to purge me? Because it sure does hurt. It sure is painful. He says, I'm proud of the fruit you're bearing, but I want you to bear more. And everything it took to get me from there to here, it's going to take more to get me from here to there. And when it's painful, I'm looking at different people and thinking about texts and emails and testimonies and one-on-one conversations we've had in the office, here, there, back in the back, about things that people are going through. And I think all of us would say, it's so hard. He's purging us. We were born with a sin nature. We were born after our father Adam, and he is conforming me day in and day out to the image of Jesus Christ. What did it take to save my soul? His sacrifice on the cross. What does he want me to do to be conformed to his image? Take up my cross and follow him. Church, there was nothing easy about your soul's salvation. And there's nothing easy about the transformation of my old man into a new man that lives and loves and honors Jesus Christ with everything that's within him. That is contrary to our nature. There are people in here who have been saved 40, 50, and 60 years, and they will tell you if they don't get up in the morning and die to the flesh, their old man is going to be large and in charge, calling the shots, living like a lost man, responding like a lost man, treating others the way a lost man would treat them. And God has so much better in store for me than that. And I only become that person that He wants me to be through chastening. Do not misunderstand His chastening in your life.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.